Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 21st of June, recording at 9:54 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. And it certainly turned into a risk-off day as it progressed. Now, Asian stock markets were mostly a little lower. Exceptions were Japan and also the Indian stock market. European markets seesawed a little bit, but closed mostly with small losses, all under 1%, though the UK was nearly down 1%, and the FTSE MIB, that's the Italian market, closed up a fraction, tiny fraction. It's Wall Street where the damage actually occurred, and this was a big downward dynamic here. The S&P down 30 points, that's 2.25%, slightly more for the NASDAQ composite. That spread throughout the region, Canada, the Toronto TSX down nearly 3%, and Brazil down 2.9%. The U.S. dollar soared against that background, pushed the dollar index up to 82.33 as I speak. The euro, which had been in a technical rally phase up until midday yesterday, closed down 1.66 at 1.2541. Sterling, which had also been in a technical rally phase until yesterday, down today over a cent, we're down to 1.5, nearly 1.56. And in other action, I think my volume's on a little high, so I'm just going to turn it down so you don't get too much of a breathy sound there. Precious metals were nailed in here today, and this does concern me. Silver down about 5.5%, brings it back 158 to $26.87. Gold down $41. It's currently trading at 1566. Platinum down $28, 1438 and change. Palladium down 10. The industrial metals were all lower. As a matter of fact, just about everything seems to be lower in commodities except for natural gas, which rallied. It's currently at 258.5 in the States. And also coffee. U.S. coffee rallied. Now, oil was absolutely hammered, and this pushed the WTI down to 78.15 as I speak, that's down 3.30, and the Brent 89.20, that's down 3.49 as I speak. Big moves. Okay, well, what's going on here overall? Well, on yesterday's comment of the day, you might have seen my stock market review, where I started with a section on the USA, looking at the S&P, and comparing the action. There's been this sort of eerie parallel with what we've seen in 2011, and to a lesser extent, 2010. And that's when you get the rally in the first quarter, although it was a much better first quarter this year. And then it fades around March, a little bit earlier, February, and for the European markets. And then you get a correction, which we saw about 11% for the S&P, I believe. And then a rally starting in June, which last year carried into July before a bigger unraveling occurred at a time when some countries were pushing up interest rates, notably in Asia, and also the Greek problems were surfacing and certainly worrying investors. So what I had mentioned yesterday was that the S&P and most other stock markets had gone from short-term oversold conditions at the beginning of June to short-term overbought conditions as measured by those stochastic indicators, which of course are very sensitive. And the S&P was back under a little bit of previous trading, so sort of the first recognizable potential resistance area. Well, it flopped here today with this downward dynamic, and I hadn't mentioned bonds. Actually, the government bonds were up, but not as much as one might have expected. Bunds a little better, but I hadn't mentioned them in my review. Not all that much higher on the U.S. Treasuries, less than a point, certainly about two-thirds of a point higher. Okay, so we've had this downward dynamic, which, unless it's immediately countermanded tomorrow, and that would be a big ask, but I feel has capped the rally that we've been seeing this month. And I would be awfully surprised if the selling on Wall Street did not spill over into the Asian markets tomorrow and then spill over into Europe tomorrow as well. So now the onus really is on those June lows. You've got a little bit of breathing space, but we don't want too many more 2.5 to 3% decline days here, because you could get back to those June reaction lows fairly quickly. So we were due for a little bit of a consolidation, but I find the downward dynamic unsettling. In terms of news, there doesn't appear to have been any of consequence. Although you know that the news, such as we have had, has been mostly concerned with slowing economic activity, and that includes the USA, the whole world, as I've described it in these audios, is synchronized in this slowdown phase, and that, of course, gives the central banks license to come back with monetary policy. More stimulative monetary policy. Now, of course, the US has always been at the forefront of that monetary policy expansion with the two QE programs, and yesterday the announcement that it was extending the Operation Twist, or was buying long-dated debt as the short some of the short-term debt expired or matured. You could say that the market was a little bit disappointed that we didn't see something more. That's the way it's being interpreted generally. But I think probably that's a little bit obvious. And again, we say we had the technical rally, we were due it, got the short-term overbought condition, and that's caused people to become more cautious. Now, the implication certainly is that we're going to at least see some additional ranging here, and if those June lows, early June lows, do not hold, that would certainly lead to a further deterioration in stock market sentiment, which is pretty nervous overall. Now, I also said yesterday I didn't think that there was a big case to be made or a big catalyst to knock these markets lower, but if that was too optimistic, we didn't have to look very far to see what it would be, and it would be Spanish concerns, concerns over Spanish banks. And interestingly, though, we saw the Spanish government bond yields decline back down to about 6.50 earlier today. So that wasn't the catalyst for this sell-off. And as I say, there may not be one, except that just we have the slower growth, and the oil price is additional evidence of that. And maybe people are wondering, where's the growth actually going to come from, and which country is going to be leading the way out here. I mean, China, we did have data out earlier today that for the eighth month in a row, its manufacturing index had declined. China's certainly in a position to stimulate more, as is India, and this big drop in the price of oil really does alleviate some of the pressure, and it's got to lower the inflation, I would have thought, that has so worried the Reserve Bank of India. But part of their inflation is, of course, due to distribution problems. Well, let's wrap it all up. I think we're going to have a few more nervous weeks here in these stock markets. Technically, it would require a rebound tomorrow, and I while I described that as a big ask a moment ago, downside follow-through would sort of confirm the fears that we have seen expressed today. Now, among some of these markets, I mentioned that Japan had been higher. It'll certainly be challenged tomorrow, but one of the factors that had helped Japan to move higher was an announcement. I had posted an article on this earlier in the I think it was earlier this week or it was late last week, but about how a note of the Japanese Prime Minister had vetoed the Bank of Japan's two applicants, and it appointed its own, which had been ratified by the Diet. Owen has a piece on that here today. And long and short of it, that has led to a weaker yen, because these people are who are coming in, joining the board at the Bank of Japan, are open advocates of a further expansion. And the softer yen that we've been calling for, well, the dollar, okay, the dollar had a good day today, but it's back up to 80.27 as I speak against the yen. Now, bond yields, that's fascinating. I'll be posting a little later. I had to be out a fair amount this afternoon, so I'm running late on my copy and the audio. But Swiss 5-year government bonds yields actually below naught. So in other words, you're getting a negative nominal return in those Swiss government bonds. Now that does show the level of fear. I assume this is buying, so-called safe haven buying by people who are getting out of some of continental Europe's more questionable debt, and there's plenty of more questionable sovereign debt. But that's such an extreme reaction here overall. The decline in crude oil is a boon for the next recovery phase, but the trouble is we're not yet there. We need that additional stimulus. But central banks are crisis oriented. I think the Fed is, I've been saying for weeks that the Fed would be desperate not to have to do a QE3. First, that would look political, as if they were favoring the incumbent Obama administration. Then they anticipate that they would be criticized as reckless by perhaps some of the Republicans, because there has been some comment to that effect earlier on. So they're hoping that Congress does something. Well, fat chance of that happening in a run-up to the November election. So you see, there are a lot of things that are weighing on investors' minds in here. What's the good news? A lot of equities represent very attractive value, from China to my goodness, the European market. Valuations are terrific. And you know, there's some outstanding European dividend aristocrats there. And Owen comments from those from time to time. Those dividend aristocrats are in the main also autonomies. Nestle, typical example. Sanofi, another one. Okay, what about this sell-off in the price of gold? Well, and precious metals generally, it was big enough so that it poses a question to my support building hypothesis. And that being, for new subscribers, I'd been saying that following, let's take gold, concentrate on gold here, that following a low in September, a spike low in September of last year, and then another one in December of last year, we got back down in April and found support just slightly above those lows and range for a while, and then had a reasonable technical rally underway, with gold getting must have been about $75, $80 up off that low. But it's come down with a bump in here today, giving up about half of that move, and so that's not so good. And downside follow through tomorrow, throughout the lasts persist through the close, would add to the concerns. Silver's underperformed here and is right down to last month's lows. So I would ex I had expected it to be rangy. I've talked about this being, if it's in a support building phase, that would be rangy. But I was also looking, or of the very much of the view that we should now see, we should be moving into the accumulation phase of this lengthy medium-term correction, in which we would get some sideways to higher ranging. Well, for that to happen, we're going to have to see some support encountered above those lows for gold, and also a rally back up and through the previous highs. And today's downward dynamics unnerve me a little bit in that respect. It hasn't canceled out that possibility, that more favorable script, but it certainly is questioning it. So, as I say, really across the board, it's a big risk-off day here overall, and that's not going to prove, that's not going to help sentiment that much. Be interesting to see how this plays out in Asia tomorrow. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.